Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Today on Route 51, we're covering two topics. Coming up at 5:30, Rob Mentzer, the opinion page editor of the Wausau Daily Herald, will take your calls about a new policy being enacted by all the Gannett newspapers in central Wisconsin. That includes the Marshfield News Herald, the Wisconsin Rapids Tribune, and the Stevens Point Journal. Starting next week, the papers will no longer allow anonymous reader comments to news stories, opinion pieces, and letters to the editor on its website. In other words, if you want to say something about somebody or something, you'd better be willing to say it to their face, because your name will appear along with your comments. The papers hope the new policy will lead to a more civil discussion. Critics say it will keep some people from voicing their opinions, particularly since you'll need a Facebook account to participate. Well, that's in the second half of the show, but right now we welcome Mary Jo Carson, the mayor of Wisconsin Rapids, who has announced her retirement after leading that community through some very hard economic times. We're going to talk to Mary Jo about the high points and low points of her time as mayor, the challenges facing the paper and cranberry industries, her efforts to build a diversified economic base, and how the Great Recession is affecting the people of her city. Mary Jo Carson will only be with us for the first half of the show, so if you've got something to say to her, a question to ask her, or maybe you just want to wish her well as she steps down, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Our phone lines are wide open right now, and you can get through without any trouble. Well, Mary Jo, you've been mayor for 6 years now. What did you do before that?
I retired once. I retired from the state of Wisconsin in January of 2001. I worked for the Department of Commerce, and I was an area development manager at that time. I'd been with them for 15 and a half years, had a wonderful time working in north central Wisconsin with communities and businesses and friends. They're all friends now. And it was hard to retire from that, but after a while, driving the miles I drove got a little hard on the body and the brain.
Well, you've got a communications degree, too.
Yes,
is that correct?
So UW-Madison. Mm-hmm.
So you've got the communications background and also the background in economic development, which,
yes.
Boy, that's certainly what you need as a mayor of not only Wisconsin Rapids, but any city in Wisconsin or elsewhere. But, well, all of our cities right now are facing such serious challenges because of this this Great Recession. But in your city, some of those challenges have been especially painful. What made you want to lead Wisconsin Rapids during difficult times like these?
Well, there's no crystal ball. When you run for office, you don't know what's going to be down the road. But you run for office because, number one, you want to give back to the community you live in. And number two, you really want that public service experience. And I have to admit, I wanted that experience. I felt I could give back. This community is my home. It's been very, very good to me. And I did it because I thought I had some talents I could use in the mayor's office. Now, having said that, when you get in there, oh my, oh dear, the surprises do come, as you've just mentioned. And they're not all positive. They never can be. It's just the nature of the beast. I would like our listeners to stop and think about the local democracy and the fact that your local officials are the closest elected officials to you physically.
Right.
So you can find them in the grocery store. You can, access them frequently. That is the purest form of democracy, and I'm proud to have been a part of that.
Why are you stepping down after the end of your third term?
Well, 6 years is enough. I'm a grandmother. I have a couple of older grandchildren and a couple of younger grandchildren. They do not live in Wisconsin. I'm not spending enough time with them, and I just think it's time to let somebody else, have a chance at this. I don't have all the answers, and new ideas are often very helpful, to moving forward a community.
This is the kind of job that can burn people out, Mary Jo. Are you burned out at this point, or if you had to, could you still keep going at it?
Oh, I could. I could keep going if I had to. I just wanted to have an open seat available for the folks in this community to take advantage of it. An open seat often brings more people out to participate in public service. So I felt that if I was going to go do something else, I'm not going to sit in a rocking chair, to say the least. I will continue to be involved in this community in the best way I can see to help it move forward. But I just felt that that's enough for somebody that's 71, you know?
Well, you've certainly led a very full life, but you know, you indicated when we were talking about doing this show that your career ain't over yet.
Oh no, I have plans for other things to do. I'm going to hopefully be able to contribute to a company here in town and do some work for them and just quietly, you know, stay involved. So I'm not done.
There was a newspaper interview with you in which you voiced some concern about the negativity of some people that you run into. Now, you run into negativity everywhere in this world, but did that get you down at all? You're a very positive person.
I am positive. I always have been positive. I have to say that the second half of your show gives me great joy because I have felt that if you're not willing to put your name on something, then it really doesn't. It doesn't deserve to be, you know, heard by anybody. So I'm proud of Gannett taking this, you know, moving this forward. I think that negativity spreads. Negativity can become so counterproductive to finding answers. And we're all about solving problems in public sector. It isn't easy to solve those problems, and if people are negative, it's even more difficult. So I would hope that we can begin to say, number one, we have a right to express our opinions in this country. This is a democracy. We have we owe the people that are speaking the right to be heard, and we need to come to consensus so we can solve the problems that are facing local governments.
You know, and it is a lot harder to be nasty to somebody if you're saying it right to their face.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot harder. And they know who you are, obviously, because you're looking right at them.
There you go. Well, what do you think the status of Wisconsin Rapids is right now as you step down? Can the people of the city expect brighter times next year? And if they can't, given our current economy and some of the turmoil we're going through, how long is it going to take?
I think that Wisconsin Rapids has been blessed with a couple of things through this recession. Number one, our housing values have held. And number two, the cost of living in Wisconsin Rapids is extremely reasonable. And I'll add a third. Our school system is excellent. We have excellent private schools, and we have an outstanding school district, Wisconsin Rapids School District. So as a place to live, it is, bar none, a wonderful place to live and raise your family. Now, having said that, we have to create the jobs to keep our young people here. But you know, Glenn, you can say that about all of Wisconsin. We educate our kids in a university system, and they leave the state. So we need to, as communities and as a state, figure out ways to create the jobs to keep our kids here. And that is going to be the challenge not only for Wisconsin Rapids, but for the whole state going forward. We have kept some of our people because we've retrained them. Mid-State Tech and the Community Foundation has worked very hard to create an environment so we're educating people for the jobs that are here, such as food processing, but there aren't enough of them, you know?
Yeah.
And I think Wisconsin Rapids has looked at itself and says, okay, here's how we need to change and here's how we need to improve what we're doing. We're not there yet. But we're on the right path.
Well, you've been working hard to diversify the economy and to get more industries to relocate in Wisconsin Rapids. In fact, you created a five-member economic development team. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but as I understand it, you created a position, a planning and economic development director.
Yes.
And then you added yourself, the city finance director, an attorney, and an engineer. Were the five of you able to accomplish anything?
Oh my, they are outstanding professionals. The planner brings a piece that we didn't have until we created that position. But with the five of us, we were able to do the deal we did with Ocean Spray for their major expansion in our Westside Industrial Park. And we were also able to move what was then Advanced Fiberglass from their location at Pepper and 16th Street out to our Eastside Industrial Park.
Mm-hmm.
We were also able to, and I'm proud of the Common Council, we were able to come up with a deal, had it gone forward, for Energy Composites, and you talked to Jamie, you know Jamie.
I toured the facility and
yes,
the plant, and it's, boy, it's amazing, just the size of what they can create in that factory.
Yeah, absolutely. And the windmill project didn't go forward, but that doesn't mean that this community has anything to be ashamed of. We put together a fair and good package, and I hope that the Common Council will remember what they did when they have the opportunity to do it again. Because we proved to a company in our community, we're here to work with you, and here's how.
Do you think the windmill project, the Energy Composites project, which was building these huge, the plan was to build these huge fiberglass blades for,
right,
for wind turbines, and then locate them primarily in the Midwest, largely using the rail transit resources that you've got in Wisconsin Rapids.
Right.
I talked to some Energy Composite officials about their dream of putting these wind farms in Lake Michigan,
mm-hmm,
where, of course, you have a lot of wind and not much to block it. But it didn't fly, and I'm wondering if the project is dead as far as you know it, or is it still just kind of on hold and waiting for the right things to happen?
I think, Glenn, it is definitely on hold. I don't think that, frankly, if you watch, and you do, all the local and state and federal news about green energy just kind of fell apart in this country. And it fell apart for reasons that are beyond my knowledge, but that doesn't mean it won't return, and that doesn't mean that it won't make sense at another time. So I would assume that Jamie and his company would be, you know, ready to explore it again. But that time, this is not that time.
Did the governor's restrictions on wind farms, the law that was passed increasing the setbacks for adjoining properties, did that hurt Energy Composites and their dreams?
I don't think it helped it. I really don't, and I don't think it helped other companies in the state that were looking at, you know, producing components for windmill farms. And I think that it certainly changed a lot of the, you know, playing field.
Well, some would say, you know, and this just isn't in the state of Wisconsin, but nationally, if you're going to have green energy projects, since it's cutting-edge technology, it hasn't had the infrastructure available, that there needs to be the right kind of political climate for it to thrive.
Absolutely. And I do think that some of that came from less than informed people. A lot of us at the local level created our own ordinances because we have had requests for people in town that, you know, wanted to have their own ability to generate wind power. So a lot of us tried to get ahead of the curve, and then Public Service Commission was going to finalize that, and frankly, everything kind of died anyway. You know, we tried to be prepared, but nothing has gone too far down the path of needing it.
Mary Jo Carson, she's stepping down as mayor of Wisconsin Rapids after 6 years in office. She is only with us for the first half of the program, so you've got about 8 minutes or so if you'd like to place a phone call and ask her a question. If you've got an opinion of how things are going in Wisconsin Rapids under her tenure, maybe you just want to wish her well. 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. We're going to take a very short break. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Wisconsin Public Radio, Route 51 on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from Rely Local Wausau, working to build the local economy and strengthen the community by making local business everybody's business. Learn more about locally owned and operated businesses at relylocal.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Our guests for the next few minutes, Mayor Mary Jo Carson of Wisconsin Rapids. If you'd like to talk with her, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Mary Jo, let's talk about two of the biggest industries in Wisconsin Rapids, paper and cranberries. You were in office only a year when Stora Enso announced the sale of its paper mills to NewPage. That led to hundreds of layoffs. And then Domtar follows with the mill closure in Port Edwards. Reflect back on how you felt when you heard that news and how you and other city leaders responded in the weeks that followed.
Well, it was the kind of news that you dread because, again, we didn't know anything about the new owners of the paper company. It's always, you know, the unknown is the scariest thing in the world. We made it a point to get in touch with the folks in Miamisburg, Ohio, let them know who we were and, you know, how we could help. We were here. Let us know what we could do. That is always a concern when you have new owners. However, at least they were in this country. So, you know, if you had to, it was easier to get there and visit them in person if that was appropriate.
It didn't mean flying all the way to Helsinki.
Exactly, exactly. And it was a little more similar culture, you know, because they were American in their business culture. When Domtar closed, that was awful. It was awful for Southwood County. The county pulled together, and we had a joint effort at meeting the needs of all of these people. I know Cindy Kiesling, who is a dislocated worker person for this part of the state, and for all of these years that I've been in this business, she's outstanding. She worked very hard to help the folks that want to go back to school, that are looking for jobs. But that really hit us hard. We lost a lot of young white-collar positions when NewPage purchased Stora, and that is the area we really hope we can address and attract that portion of the labor force back. The young professionals are precious, and they do bring with them, you know, young families and a commitment to the community that's a little different than older folks that, you know, are facing retirement.
Are you going to be able to attract those young professionals in the paper business as it's now constituted, or are we going to have to see other industries?
In other industries. We already are attracting them significantly with Renaissance Learning. As you know, they're a software company that provides software to school systems for reading and math assistance. They're all over the world, mainly in North America, but they're an outstanding company, and they hire a lot of young professionals.
And there's the medical industry, too. I know
exactly,
you work with Aspirus.
Exactly, which is also growing, yes. Our new Aspirus clinic has hired over 30 people, and that's another, you know, wonderful, wonderful help. The cranberry industry is definitely expanding in our area. Wood County grows more cranberries than any other county in the country. And so we see, going forward, additional growth in food processing, and the investment we have made in our wastewater treatment plant, we intend to market that. And by the way, we are going to have an article in an international wastewater magazine about the new plant we have here and why it's green. It is green. It has a generator, and we do generate our own electricity. So we're very pleased that we're getting some exposure. They came to us. So we're very thrilled that that's going to be coming out in 2012.
How are the people of your city coping with the Great Recession?
I think it's been extremely challenging, extremely painful. There's faces behind all of this, and that's been so hard for me. I feel kind of responsible because the jobs aren't there, and I'm not the one that can create it. Private sector can. But we need to create the environment so that private sector is comfortable locating in our community and growing their business in our community. And that's what we've tried to do.
It's been a very tumultuous political year in this state. We've had mass rallies in Wisconsin Rapids. Now the governor is in the midst of a recall drive. Your comments on what's been happening this year and how it's affecting the city politically and maybe even economically.
Well, we have had, you know, we're like everybody else. There are people with their petitions, you know, to recall Governor Walker. We have asked them to be respectful of others, and they are doing that. We are acting as the coordinator of communication for the folks that are mad and trying to keep everybody civil and behaving appropriately. So that we're going to get through. It's going to be challenging because not everybody agrees, but at least we've encouraged respect. The key part of all of this is how do you continue to attract businesses from outside of the state of Wisconsin when we're kind of up and down on what we are and who we are.
Right.
You know, I would hope that all of this will stabilize and that we can present ourselves as a state that's got its ducks in a row and really does want to work with private sector and grow quality jobs. And that's why I supported the change from Department of Commerce to the new Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, because they have a whole different mandate that is far more quantitative. And they're going to be looking at how they're spending money and where it's doing the most good.
Mary Jo, we're down to our last 30 seconds or so. What are your hopes for the next mayor of Wisconsin Rapids?
I hope that the next mayor will come in with wonderful ideas and a new approach to solving these problems, because they're not going to go away. I hope it's a young person. I hope it's somebody that, you know, has vim and vigor and is willing to roll up their sleeves and go after the issues that we face. They're not going to change, but they can be solved. We got to work together.
Mary Jo Carson, mayor of Wisconsin Rapids, stepping down after 6 years. Mary Jo, thanks so much for being with us today, and good luck to you.
Thank you so much.
And we will be back after the news break with Rob Mentzer of the Wausau Daily Herald talking about their new policy, no more anonymous comments on their website. 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to weigh in on that right after this news.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
Because your mind's on vacation and your mouth is working overtime. You quoting figures and dropping names. You telling stories and playing games. You overlapping when things ain't funny. You trying to sound like a big money. If talk was criminal, you'd leave a life of crime. Because your mind's on vacation and your mouth is working overtime.
Have you ever logged onto the website for a daily newspaper in Wisconsin, whether it's the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the Wisconsin State Journal, or your local hometown newspaper, and then clicked on the reader comments section after a news story, an editorial, or a letter, and been shocked at what readers are saying to each other? The invective, the hatred, the insults, the personal attacks, all posted anonymously by people who don't have to sign their names to what they're writing. I'm Glenn Moberg, and on Route 51, we're about to talk about a change that's happening in central Wisconsin, a new policy by the Gannett newspaper chain, the Wausau Daily Herald, Stevens Point Journal, Wisconsin Rapids Tribune, and Marshfield News Herald, a new practice. Now, if you want to respond to a story, an opinion piece or a letter, your name is going to be associated with it because you're going to have to use your Facebook account to post your remarks. Those who want a more civil discussion say it's about time. Others worry that it will keep some people from voicing their opinions because they'll be afraid of retaliation to themselves or their family from strangers, coworkers, maybe even employers who don't like what they say. Joining us for the next half hour, Rob Mentzer, the opinion page editor of the Wausau Daily Herald. He'll be explaining and defending the new policy, and we'll be taking your phone calls. What's your opinion on the opinion page? Do you think this is long overdue, that it will lead to a more thoughtful, respectful dialogue? Or do you think it will stifle opinion? And how do you feel about having to use a Facebook account in order to participate? Now, Rob is only here for a half hour. I know this is a controversial topic because I've seen the comments on the Daily Herald website. And we have wide open phone lines right now. So if you want to voice your opinion, the time to call is now. That's 1-800-780-9742, 1-800-780-9742. Rob Mentzer, why do you think this was necessary?
Well, Thanks, Glenn. It's not a simple decision. It's not without some cost to go from anonymous comments to a Facebook system. The benefit, of course, is going to be in tone. It's the invective that you described. That reaction, that summary that you did at the top of this segment is, in my experience, the great majority of people that I talk to in the community, that is their sense of what goes on in a newspaper comment section.
Right.
And while that's not always the case, there actually are interesting comments that are posted anonymously. There are thoughtful comments. It sometimes is the case that the tone and the invective gets out of control, and it doesn't. We've seen on the Wausau Daily Herald Facebook page that it doesn't happen that way. In the comments thread on our Facebook page, when the names are attached, people still disagree with each other. People still offer differing political views and so on. But there is way less. There is simply much less name calling, and it's a better quality discussion.
Well, it's a lot harder to be nasty to somebody and call them a name if you have to do it right to their face.
Right. No, absolutely. And so what are good reasons that people would want to be anonymous? There are some you mentioned fear of retaliation. I think that is real for some people. I think some people just don't like Facebook and don't want to have a Facebook page. And it's unfortunate that they will be excluded from this particular type of commenting, story comments. But the benefit is that I think we will, in the long run, we could gain more commenters and have more participation because people are going to feel more comfortable that they can participate without being subject to a bunch of attacks.
A bunch of abuse. How much time does it take from the Herald staff right now to monitor the comments section so you can delete things that are really offensive? And I know that the newspaper has actually blocked some people from participating.
Sure, and it's an ongoing process. So the real answer is it takes a significant amount of staff time, less today than it did a couple years ago. This has been a bit of a process. When I first came to the Wausau Daily Herald 4 years ago, it was entirely done by staff, all moderation. And so as a result, sometimes we wouldn't see everything and it would be slower to get down, you know, to be taken down, even truly abusive stuff, racist stuff or whatever. About 2 years ago or so, we switched to a system where we actually farm out a fair amount of that moderation to the company called Pluck that provides kind of the social network platform for our website. So editors at the Daily Herald still do it, but they're not primarily responsible for it. Primarily, it's done by the community, which reports abuse, or by these off-site moderators. And
what does it take to block somebody completely? You see that come up on some of your comments where this reader has been blocked from participating by the Herald editorial staff.
I mean, we have a terms of service posted on the site, and they're somewhat involved. But I mean, truly abusive. Following multiple warnings, someone gets removed. Somebody who is there to troll. Someone posts. Just post blatantly racist or misogynist stuff that you and I both know what we're talking about. So do our listeners. Like, there are some comments that are designed to troll and elicit reaction that do not add to the discussion, and you can kind of know them when you see them.
The whole concept of trolls, the idea is that there's some people who are actually being paid to post political commentary.
There is, and that's it has happened before, and it probably will happen again. I'm using it more in the sense of somebody who gets their joy in life from provoking a negative reaction from others and from bullying people online, and will post something just as a little like a 2-year-old will do, just to see what the reaction will be.
Well, how about people who are afraid of retaliation from coworkers or acquaintances or bosses? They really can't post their comments now.
Yes and no. They can't post in story comments. Actually, the site will retain some anonymous comments. They will not be on the story pages. Users can still start a blog or participate in the forums on the site exactly as they have been up to now. So it's not quite true that there will be just zero outlet for someone who doesn't want to reveal their name but feels like they have a point of view. That's that there are still places for that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the fear of retaliation, it's a tricky line. I think that some people, it probably is a legitimate concern. Sometimes I think that it's a little bit, it can be overblown. You know, I edit the letters to the editor section of the paper, and we have people who take stands all the time and take quite, you know, can be, take quite, hard lines on various political issues, right and left. And they sign their names to them. People respond to them. It's a real discussion, and I think that a lot of people respect that.
Why Facebook? Couldn't you implement this kind of a change without forcing people to have Facebook accounts? A lot of people just don't want to post all of that information for everyone to see.
Sure. We don't live in a world where there are several competing social networks that are equally popular and that we sort of have to arbitrarily choose which ones. For better or worse, the world of 2011 is one where Facebook is the behemoth of social networking, and most people who are interested in being on a social network have a Facebook account. So there will be some people who just simply don't want to use the internet that way. And unfortunately, it's a real cost to this approach, that those people are excluded from this type of participation. But for better or worse, we're approaching a world where if you're online, you probably have a Facebook page.
How easy is it to get on Facebook?
Yeah, pretty easy. If you've ever signed up, I mean, it doesn't cost anything. It takes a few minutes. You have actually a fair amount of control. A lot of users of Facebook don't realize that you actually can go into the settings and have a fair amount of control about what personal information your profile will reveal.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, you don't have to put all your personal information on there. No one is going to force you to post a photograph or whatever, but most people choose to. It is possible, and I think that I expect people to do it, to sign up for sort of a bare bones Facebook page for the sake of participating in comments. That's fine. You just use your real name.
Well, we'd like to hear from you. We'd like your comments on this change. What do you think about forcing people to sign their names to the comments they make on newspaper articles on the Daily Herald website or any of the other Gannett newspapers? Do you think it's long overdue? Do you think it will lead to a more civil discussion, a better, more rational dialogue? Or do you think that it's going to keep some people from commenting? What do you think of the Facebook matter? You have to have a Facebook account in order to participate. Rob is with us for about another 15 minutes, and we'd love to hear from you. Our lines are wide open, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from Northwind Renewable Energy in Stevens Point, partnering with agricultural and commercial industries to invest in Central Wisconsin's renewable energy future. More about the benefits of solar for business at northwindre.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Our guest, Rob Mentzer, the opinion page editor of the Wausau Daily Herald, who is talking about the new Facebook policy, Facebook being the way that you will have to comment on newspaper articles or stories or letters to the editor or opinion pieces. No more anonymous newspaper responses from you. And I wonder what you think. 1-800-780-9742. Let's go to the phones right now and go to Matt in Wausau. Matt, you're on Route 51 with Rob Mentzer.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I just like to say personally, I think it's a great idea. I think people should be held accountable for what they say, and they haven't been. I get on the blog once in a while, and it's been quite malicious. So personally, I'm happy. I like a good argument with someone that disagrees with me, but the name calling got out of hand.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry for your experience. I mean, that is the experience of other users as well. And I think there's some people who actually like love to get in a really vitriolic, angry fight, and those I can't really relate to that. I think there are some people for whom it just doesn't bother them. It's for some people it's easier to let that stuff just sort of flow past you. And there's some people, and I think we've all experienced it, you get into a fight with someone you don't even know on the internet, and it really bothers you. You can really feel, have an emotional response to that. Why is this person behaving this way?
And that's
a terrible experience. And I do hope that that the change will make fewer users have that experience.
Well, Matt, are you worried at all that this might keep some people from commenting who would otherwise comment?
In a way, I understand that we're living in a world where, you know, unfortunately, we're not allowed to say whatever we want. But, I mean, a lot of the stuff that I participated in until recently on the Wausau Daily Herald comments page was, I mean, completely out of line. It wasn't just kind of, there was a lot of name calling. And specifically, I'd like to cite when Samantha Masterson stood up and got arrested and
sure, she submitted a terrific column.
Yeah. She was lambasted on that. She was called names. She was called all kinds of things, and I found that completely disturbing that the forum would allow that. And I think she was solicited to write the article first of all. And then she wrote the article and then was absolutely lambasted. I thought that was a shame.
Well, me too. I mean, that was a terrific column, and we expected it to provoke a response, and it did. I think that there was a certain amount of what I would call a reasonable back and forth. There certainly were multiple viewpoints represented in the comments to that column. But yes, absolutely, some of them went too far. Some were removed, but it's a matter of, how, you know, were they removed before you might have seen them or someone else? Maybe not. Maybe it took too long.
And again, it's a matter of they don't know her. And if they did, they wouldn't have spoken of her in that manner. So I think this is a great thing. I think if Samantha's on a Facebook and they're on a Facebook, you can associate that with a person and relate to them as a person, not just some buddy that you're typing and commenting on that you don't even know.
Right, absolutely.
So thanks, guys. Thanks for the program.
Matt, thanks so much for the phone call.
Yeah, it is easier when the person's a pure abstraction to you, right?
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Absolutely. If you know somebody, you're much less likely to be that mean.
Sure.
What do you think of the new policy in the Gannett newspapers? No more anonymous comments on their website. Let's go to Anthony in Rhinelander, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to get your licks in the next few minutes. Anthony in Rhinelander, you're on Route 51 with Rob Mentzer.
Hello, good evening. I just am calling to talk about, I would be one of the people that would be prohibited from commenting because I don't have a Facebook. It's something I don't agree with the terms of service, and I don't have an account. I never really had any problems, but I decided that, you know, after reviewing the terms of service and things, that it's not really for me. And I can certainly understand that you want to moderate, you know, the types of comments and you know, obviously people giving their identity, you know, will certainly limit that. I guess this is kind of one of those things where, you want to increase the control and moderate them, but yeah, definitely some people are going to be left out of commenting if they don't have Facebook. And I don't know of any, there is no good solution, there's no catch-all solution. There's certainly, you know, peer moderation, and there's other services, you know, like Google, or there's another one called OpenID. Which allows you, actually, you can use that across multiple services to identify yourself. But I would be one of the people that's left out by Facebook, and I can go ahead and take my comment off the air.
All right. Thanks so much, Anthony. We appreciate you calling.
And it's a good point. I mean, it is absolutely true. I guess to Anthony, I'd say, you know, follow our Twitter feed and participate with us on Twitter. You're free to start an anonymous blog on the site or participate in forums. And it is true. I'm familiar with OpenID as well as an alternative, way to go, and it has some benefits too. It was, in this case, the company's decision, and it's company wide, was to go with Facebook, and I hope that will work well. I think it will. It's also, you know, who knows? We'll see if there are real problems with it. We might change that in the future too.
Let's just take a look at some of the comments that have been posted on the Herald website since the new Gannett policy was announced. Wheedler says, thank you. Igora says, this is great. It made my day. I'm glad that people will finally be accountable for what they're writing. Hopefully this will be the end of the hateful comments and venom that has been around here lately, which is why I've stopped commenting for the most part. But German Machine says this will keep conservatives who are concerned about getting nails thrown in their driveway from writing comments.
No one should be throwing nails in other people's driveway.
And we've got a post that was pretty thoughtful from El Conquistador, and he admits this has been a toxic environment at times, but it has also provided a safety net of sorts for many non-aggressive posters. I believe there will definitely be a huge drop-off in commenting activity once this is implemented for many reasons, and he lists some of them here. Fear of retaliation by people with opposing viewpoints, revealing more in a completely public forum than one is comfortable with, unwittingly creating a negative image of oneself to a boss, supervisor, or workplace, unwittingly negatively impacting your spouse and or children with your opinions, and numerous other reasons, adding, I'm very disappointed in the Herald's decision to do this.
Yeah, it's a pretty good critique. Those in fact are some of the drawbacks to the approach. The benefits, of course, are as we discussed. It's a sense of accountability. It's a sense that of community, that the people you're talking to are real people. And, you know, letters to the editor are signed and we have a pretty good back and forth.
And let me hit you with a couple more here, Rob. Not so serious or not too serious says, people need to be accountable for what they say. In an ideal world, this may be true, but often stories of high quality come from a source that does not want to be identified for fear of losing their jobs, being spit upon. I think your switch is a bad idea. And then Wausau Chris writes, and the silencing of the weaker citizens continues. Only those that are self-employed or retired or do not work or hold a position of power will be allowed to post their real beliefs and opinions. The rest of the privately employed sector, those that have to answer to an employer, will never be able to voice their real opinions out of fear of losing their job when the boss disagrees with what you have to say about politics, healthcare, trials, banks, etc.
Sure. I understand the critique. To the first of those that you read, I would note that we still have channels where people can leave news tips. We still encourage people to email our reporters, and we still will protect confidential sources, or be sensitive to people who want to reveal news information that needs to be reported.
So they can do it in the old-fashioned way.
Yeah,
they can call up your newsroom and just over the telephone leave an anonymous tip and maybe give you some sources that you can track down to verify it some other way.
Please do it.
Well, let's go through here. Oh, one from one that was actually posted on Facebook. We both posted about this show on our Facebook accounts, Ron. And the Daily Herald's policy, poster says, is not to print letters with the author's name withheld upon request. It's short-sighted and against a long tradition of anonymity going back to the founders who produced pamphlets using pseudonyms, or like that Mark Twain fellow who wrote anti-slavery editorials in Southern papers using yet another pen name.
It's a smart comment. I there are uses of anonymity, and he's quite right. In history, there is a long tradition of anonymous discourse in the public sphere. But you know what? I read a number of anonymous bloggers to this day. There are lots of ways to participate and have your thoughts out there in the world on the internet anonymously. The Wausau Daily Herald story comments will not be one of them anymore. But I'm not convinced that that's the end of democracy.
Rob Metzer, thanks so much for being with us and for rescheduling your afternoon on short notice. We wanted to get this out there while people were talking about it.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Rob Metzer.
You talk too much, you worry me to death. You talk too much, you even worry my pet. You just talk too much.
We want to thank today's guests, Rob Mentzer, opinion page editor of the Wausau Daily Herald, and in the first half of our show, Mayor Mary Jo Carson of the City of Wisconsin Rapids. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producers, Jane Ricker and Crystal Bennis. Thanks, as always, to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music today by Mose Allison and Joe Jones.
People, you can make me scream. You just talk.
Next Thursday, Route 51 revisits the sport of curling as we look at an exciting new development that could make the city of Wausau the capital of curling for the entire country. We'll talk to the people behind the new curling recreational complex and to one of the leaders of the U.S. Olympic curling team. Thanks again for riding along with us today. I'm Glenn Moberg. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. Until next week, we're heading out of town.
Yeah.